sky's so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
It's the KSL Greenhouse. Expert tips for flowers, trees, gardens, and soil. Our hosts are Maria Chaleos and Tawn Bettis on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. It's great to be with you on this beautiful fall day. This morning, we are coming to you from Euromax Authentic European Furniture. And if you are planning cabinets for any room, we're talking kitchen, bedroom, office, you owe it to yourself to come into Euromax this morning and just see all of the innovative designs they have. And these are truly custom. This morning, we want to start, Tawn, with talking about the autumn crocus. It's the right time of year to be talking about autumn crocus.
It is.
We think of crocus as spring.
Yes, and most of our bulbs do bloom in the spring, but autumn crocus, which is a member of the lily family, is one that will have the leaves come out in the spring, and then it goes dormant, and then sometime in mid to late September, the flowers come up, and there's just flower heads all over wherever you've planted them, and so they're a nice autumn surprise.
I like autumn surprises. There are very few things blooming at this time of year out in the yard, and this is one of them.
It is. And these are some that are very low maintenance. Generally, they'll come back for several years, and they can actually self-propagate. So they will spread by, like, some of the old-fashioned, not lilies, but the tulips that you see in the spring, how some of the heirloom varieties, Darwins and things like that, will spread on their own. These will spread a bit, but they don't get out of hand.
So how do they look as far as visually? Are we talking they look the same as a regular spring crocus?
No, they will have different leaves. The leaves come up and look more similar to maybe
lily.
Tulip.
Oh, a tulip.
Tulip leaf.
Okay.
And they come up out of the ground, and they just look like a plant, and you're scratching your head going, when is this thing going to flower? And then in June, when we get into the 90 degree range, they go dormant. And then in September through October, you get the flowers.
So this is really unique. I have never planted autumn crocus. I'm not sure that I've ever seen autumn crocus. All sorts of colors. What are we talking about?
Usually they're always pink. So the flowers look like a little bit like a lily flower.
Mm-hmm.
And they are very delicate. And so it's not that you just look at them funny and they fall over, but they just look delicate. And so I worked as a teenager. I was the yard boy, I guess, for someone in my neighborhood. And she had planted these all over her yard. And when I would mow and do the string trimming, I had to be very careful in the fall because these were planted almost as a border along a lot of her flower beds, and I could easily chop them up with a string trimmer if I wasn't careful.
Right.
They're very easy to grow, and you can find the bulbs. It's just that people don't know about them.
Right. So are these planted in full sun or shade?
Full
or
sun is better. And they are considered water-wise because they go dormant during the summer. And so they will need some water through the season, but because they go dormant in the spring, they will in late spring, they will just flower in the fall. And they're just, like I said, super low maintenance.
And their bloom time, what's their season? Like, how long?
Mid to late September through mid to late October.
Okay. So you get about 4 weeks. That's about right for all those sorts of perennials, isn't it?
Okay. And it's just something that will give you a nice shot of color when other things are finishing up. And so, you know, we've been trying to focus on fall blooming flowers. We've talked about asters and mums and the fall blooming anemones and things. And this is one that is really nice to add to that mix.
Okay, but when would we want to plant it? So if we're planning for next year,
you usually find the bulbs in the spring, sometimes in the fall also, but and they're a little hit and miss, but most major garden centers will have them.
Okay. Anything else we need to know?
Just if you see them, give them a try.
Okay. see them, give them a try. And you've sent an article over to Michelle this morning, and she's going to put it up on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page.
Yes, we are. We put up a poll on our social media last week about our podcast, and I'll give compliments to Michelle on this, but it looks like listeners want an hour-long segment as a podcast plus the full show available. So
They want options.
And I just wanted to talk really quickly about, we have our podcast up, and if you miss the show or want to re-listen to a segment, you can get it off the KSL app or whatever podcasting hosting company that you like to use.
Right. And for a while we were not on Apple. I'm not sure exactly. We'd been doing some transitioning. And for those folks who like to listen to the podcast on Apple, it's back up and running.
It is. And Apple's a little bit quirky like that. You'll have your podcast and all of a sudden it disappears because there's some minor setting or something. So I'm glad that was figured out.
Yeah. And thanks to Michelle for finding out exactly what our listeners want to hear. Again, this morning we are coming to you from Euromax in Pleasant Grove. Mike Schuler is with us. He's one of the owners. And Mike, you kind of blew us away because we think of cabinets of just being a certain way. You know, you're used to seeing the wood cabinets, and you really have some innovative designs. And when we're talking custom, you're not just talking custom size, you're talking everything about the cabinet is custom. Tell us about it.
For sure. Yeah. That's really what makes us different. And it really comes down to the European design. My partner Max has had a business in Ukraine building cabinets, and we started working together, and like, I was blown away, like, instantly. Like, every day he's saying, oh, why are you guys doing stuff like this? We have a better way of doing it. And so, yeah, it comes down to the basic engineering of the cabinets, and the program that we use allows us to fully customize everything about the cabinet. So
when I was looking at some of the things you have in here, you really are focused on a clean, finished look, easy to maintain, waterproof materials. And you can do the cabinetry in almost any material.
Sure. Yeah, we'll use any material. And we can do wood cabinets. We can do solid wood cabinets. But, you know, a high focus on laminates and HPLs and acrylics that give you a clean, easy to clean, easy to maintain, waterproof, you know, just really sleek and modern style. And it's really whatever you want.
Yeah, when I think of cabinets, I don't think of lighting. But you have cool LED lighting in all of your cabinets.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And it's all, you know, done with the CNC machine inlaid into the cabinet, so it's flush and not just a strip that's taped onto the bottom of the cabinet that might fall off. And we can put it anywhere you want. And then, again, that comes down to the engineering, the programs that they use in Europe and that we use at Euromax, so we'll just allow you to do whatever you want.
Okay, we can't talk about all the features during this one segment, but we will throughout the morning. But one of the coolest features to me is something I've never seen before, is the drying rack inside the cabinet. What is that about?
It's about keeping your kitchen clean. So if you wash your plate because you don't want to have a full dishwasher, you don't want to sit there drying on the countertop where you can see it, put it inside the cabinet. With our focus on water resistance and using laminate to build the boxes and edge banding all four sides of every part with a PUR glue that is waterproof and heat resistant, it allows you to do that.
Well, like I said at the beginning of the show, if you're planning any sort of cabinet for any sort of room, you owe it to yourself to come in and just see all the things that you guys can do. Thanks for having us here this morning. We'll be talking through you
Thanks
throughout you the
morning.
On.
Excellent.
And the number to call with your questions this morning, 801-575-8255. You can text us your questions at 57500. Again, the Greenhouse Show coming to you this morning from Euromax in Pleasant Grove. Come out and see us.
The Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you this morning, taking your calls, and the phone lines are open, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Let's go to our text lines. And our first listener this morning, Ton, says they planted mums about a year and a half ago. This year, they're kind of long and gangly, and they want to know when and how they should prune them.
So the mums, just wait until they're done blooming, and when they are frozen back by hard frost, cut them within 2 or 3 inches of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And next year, what they'll want to do is make sure that they have as much sunlight as they can. Lack of sunlight can make them a little bit floppy. And then they'll also want to download a fact sheet on mum care, because the chrysanthemums need to be pinched, which is basically a light pruning. You're pinching out all the leaders on the stems just a half inch back. And what that does is it causes the mums to grow sideways for a few weeks before they start to grow out again. And you do that twice and it keeps them a lot more upright. But if they're some of the old fashioned mums or floral mums, which are the ones that we put on graves or give to others for bereavement and things, those are not bred to be compact. And so they may need a support system to hold them up. And you can go to garden centers and find what almost look like barbecue grill racks, mm-hmm. but the wires are wider apart that the mum can grow up through, but it holds them up. And so those are some options that they can do with them.
Those floral mums just don't ever look good in my garden. Like they don't. 1 year planted them just thinking, oh, this is such a beautiful plant. But the next year it came out some weird color and it was gangly.
Yes, they are very heavily manipulated in greenhouses to get them to look like they do. And sometimes they can even, if they're cut flowers especially, they can put dyes through them to change the colors and all sorts of different things. But those mums that you buy from grocery stores for Memorial Day, you know, or for funerals and things, have been very manipulated to make them look like they do, and that's not how they grow in your yard.
Very unsatisfying, no doubt about it. This next listener says, yesterday they helped a friend plant 7 evergreen trees on a property in West Jordan. They're kind of a mix of Austrian pine, Bosnian pine, blue spruce, and their question is, they heard that those trees are more prone to be uprooted with strong winds, and they're wondering if there's anything that they can do to lessen that risk.
Well, when they were planted, if they were large trees in wire baskets, one of the key things is to make sure that those wire baskets were cut away from the trees after they were placed. Mm-hmm. What will happen is that oftentimes they'll be in that burlap. If it's a green burlap, it's been treated with a copper compound that's rot resistant. And then you can sometimes girdle the roots without the galvanized steel cage or that basket. And so when you plant those, you get them placed and you put about a third of the dirt in the bottom of the hole to hold the tree in place. And then you get some wire cutters and cut that wire basket and burlap away and finish burying the tree. Because you've done that, you'll want to get some good stakes, you know, some good 2-inch wide lodgepole or ponderosa stakes, and then stake the tree from two sides for 1 year. But what will happen longer term is those roots will reach farther out into the soil and they become much more resistant to toppling. Some other things that can be done is don't limb them up 6 or 8 feet when they're big. If you do that, you create an area underneath the tree that the term's called wind throw, but it makes the tree topple because you can get air underneath that lifts those branches. And so leaving the canopy low if you can. Now, sometimes you can't, but that will help. But the spruce are the most likely to topple out of those, but they're quite resistant if they can root out and you leave the lower limbs on the tree.
Okay. Terry is on the line in Provo. Good morning, Terry. What was your question?
Good morning. I have a lot of large hostas, and I'm wondering the best way to winterize them. Should I cut them down to the ground level or just leave them brown and laying on the ground?
If they're brown, just go ahead and cut them back, because if you leave those leaves there and have to clean them up in the spring, they become a lot more difficult to do because they partially decompose and kind of become slimy, you know, under the snow. And so it's just easier to clean them up now. Now, if you wanted to, you could cut them back and, you know, put them into a compost pile or mow over them and put them back into your flower beds. They can be left, but it's just the cleanup in the spring is more difficult.
Okay, good to know. I just didn't want to damage them by cutting them down.
Oh, you won't. If they're already dormant for the season and the leaves are brown, you can cut them back.
Great. Okay, thank you.
All right, Terry, thanks for your call this morning. Next listener says they have a couple of volunteer Russian sage in a different bed from their original plant, and they'd like to move them, but they don't take over the flower bed. When is the best time for them to do that?
they can move them probably the best time I'd wait for mid-March, just so that if they sever roots or anything, they will have the opportunity to quickly regrow those. Now, if they have a dwarf cultivar, you know, that only gets the 2 to 3 feet, these are probably going to be genetically different, and they're going to most likely get between that 5 and 6 feet tall. And so I suspect that they'll need some room, but sometime mid to late March when you can dig, just pull them up and get as much of the root mass as you can and just put them in their new home, and it'll be like they'll not miss a beat.
Okay. Next listener is in Harriman. They planted 6 bare root grapes this spring, 3 varieties, Himrod, Marquis, Jupiter, and they all grew up to the height of the cordon wire. Now, how should they prepare them for their first Utah winter?
Do nothing. Just leave them alone.
Don't you love
that?
Don't
cut them.
You don't have to do anything?
Yes. What I will have them do for training, it seems, because it looks like they're not trying to grow these on a chain link fence, is to email Michael Karen, our grape specialist, for specific training, because there are several training systems, and it depends on what they're using. And so Michael is just how you normally spell it, michael.caron, C-A-R-O-N, at usu.edu. And he will, they may even send some pictures to him of their system, but he can quickly get them helped on training.
There are 3 systems?
Oh, many, many, many systems. Oh. If you go to California, to Lodi, and some of the other wine-growing regions, it's almost like every farm has their own custom system that they like. And depending on how the grapes grow, some of them do better where they're grown and the vines hang down. Some of them are trellised more, almost like in a half spider web.
Okay.
There's just all sorts of things you can do. And there's training systems for wine grapes, because we don't really care about the size of the fruit. We're more going for the qualities, for that Brix level and the flavor, as compared to table grapes, because table grapes, you open them up so the sun can hit the fruit, so they color up. You actually, on the vines where you get a cluster of grapes, you might cut the bottom third off if you're commercial to make them grow bigger. So there's all sorts of differences. And
right.
So
I just was thinking about my yard where I just like lead it along, you know, my wrought iron. But
yeah, and that is totally fine, because you're using the grape as a cover plus for fruit. And so if you were trying to maximize the harvest and try to get the grapes a little bit sweeter, then you could even do some pruning on them, you know, to try to maximize that on your wrought iron. But if you're just wanting that to fill in and cover for a privacy screen, then you just let them grow.
All right. Just reminds me, when we were on Santorini, the island in Greece, they actually grow them on the ground. It's so windy there that they can't grow upright, and they kind of grow them on the ground in kind of a wreath-like shape. And that was fascinating as
that
well.
That is fascinating.
All right.
I heard of somebody, I know we need to go to break really quick, they were actually growing grapes for grazing.
Okay.
For cows.
Okay, that's interesting too. A number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 5750, get 57500. And again, we are at Euromax in Pleasant Grove. Come out and see us and check out all the cool things that you can do with your cabinets. We'll be right back.
The Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio.
Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. We are taking your calls, and the phone lines are open. It's 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500. This morning, the program coming to you from Euromax in Pleasant Grove, and we are right next to the Tesla in Pleasant Grove, so it's easy to find us here. And one of the owners, we just talked to Mike a few minutes ago, but Max Kritsky is the other owner, and I'm not sure I got the Ukrainian accent there.
You did
but
well.
I tried my best, Mike. But yeah, you have a very interesting story. You came from Ukraine right after the war, it's still going on, but right after the war started.
Yeah, that's so. I had my own business in Ukraine, and it was very successful. So I worked for 9 years with the high-end customers, and I provided the best materials, hardware from the market you can find. And then at some point, the war started. Russia invaded Ukraine, and you think about your family. So I moved from my own city, my own country, and I ended up in Utah. And so I brought my knowledge, my experience to Utah, and we started manufacture, and we opened our showroom with the nicest high-end furniture and such, like closet, aluminum glass. It's a closet with aluminum and a glass, and with nice LED inside, with some drawers, with inserts from a leather, velvet, wood.
Yeah, you came to Utah and you said, what are you guys doing with your cabinets here? They're not very efficient.
I would say you're just doing that in a different way. In Europe, we're so focused on modern, sleek hardware, no handles, like hidden LED, and all. It's all about the hardware and materials. We put so much attention to waterproofing, to make it like functional, efficiently, and nice looking.
What is the biggest, what is one of the items that people are the most surprised about? I was really surprised by the drying rack inside the kitchen cabinet, but what's the most surprising thing?
I would say that shims. I cannot, so like in US, every installer use, like every, like a lot of installers use shims. We don't use them at all. We have adjustable legs, and we have a rail on the wall, metal rail, and every wall cabinet has a hanger on the left up corner and the right up corner. And you don't see any holes through the back. So it's a clean look, and I'm like, hey guys, why you put those holes and find the stud? It's like you leave a lot of holes. Let's make it clean.
Well, I noticed when we were just touring a little bit that some of your models have aluminum mop boards so that you don't, when you're mopping the floor, you don't ruin the wood or whatever material they're made of. And I thought that was just really innovative in and of itself.
Yeah, that's true. So we're focused on the waterproofing and water safety of your cabinets. So from the very bottom, we have a plastic legs, which is bare capacity, 800 pounds. And we cover them with aluminum Torquik, which is not afraid of water at all. Or we can substitute it on a like HPL material or a laminate material, but we'll edge bend it for four sides, and it's not afraid of water at all.
Well, we're glad to be here. We have so many items I want to mention. Like the next one, we have to talk about the broom closet, because that to me kind of blew my mind as well. And again, we are coming to you from Euromax Authentic European Furniture. We are in Pleasant Grove, right next to the Tesla dealership here in Pleasant Grove. And we'll be talking with Max and Mike a lot more throughout the morning. Ton, I was looking at my Facebook page, and 11 years ago today, we had like a foot of snow on the ground. And it was snowing, and look at this beautiful weather we're experiencing.
Oh, this has been the most gorgeous fall. You know, you talk about just tapering down in early October from the 80s to the 70s. Now we're in the 50s, low 60s. And if you've noticed, the trees have been gorgeous this year. The flowering pears are turning right now. You know, we've had just over the last couple of weeks, autumn blaze maple, the Norwegian sunset, and Pacific sunset maples. And this kind of weather, it just optimizes the fall color for trees. And even with, in the wildland areas, in our mountains and things, with the ample amount of moisture we got over the winter, they were especially gorgeous.
Yeah, and for those of us who are always running behind and need just a couple extra days to put things away, the patio furniture, and get all those leaves up, it's really given us that extra time to just get those things done.
It really has. And, you know, last week we talked about cleaning up leaves and what to do with them. That's a great time to still do that. My father-in-law had my little three-year-old niece out, and she was helping, and I say that in air quotes, of him clean up his leaves, and just a wonderful
opportunity. That's where you jump in the pile and spread them all over and you just go, hey, you can only do this once a year. You're only young once, right?
You are. So it's just been a wonderful fall. I've got an afternoon planned working outside in my own yard and over the next few days, just because I want to take advantage of this weather.
You just definitely have to. It's definitely a day you want to get outside for sure. Next listener says they have an amaryllis bulb from last year. It's growing a new leaf, very thin. Should they feed it something more than just water?
They may want to fertilize it. It sounds like it may not have gotten enough energy stored last year, or it's in an area that there's just not enough sunlight. And so I would get it off to the side of a west or south window and just get some houseplant fertilizer, half strength, and for 6 or 8 weeks, just give it half strength house fertilizer, house plant fertilizer, to see if that helps.
Shouldn't they really like just put it away and let it come out in 12 weeks and see if it actually?
Well, I was wondering if they already had.
Huh?
Because I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. Some folks know how to take care of an amaryllis.
They don't.
Maybe this is a good time to talk about what you do after a blow.
Yeah. So you treat it as a regular house plant. And keep it in a bright location, turning it once a week to keep it going. And what you will do is sometime, let's see, I've got to think back because my feeble brain. If you want it to bloom
brain.
At Christmas, so that's November 25th, October 25th, September 25th. So sometime in late September,
right,
you're going to stop watering it and tell it, hey, it's time to go dormant. So when it browns out, the leaves turn brown, you cut those back, and you put it in a dark location for 10 to 12 weeks. And you'll check it starting at 8 weeks to see if a new leaf is emerging yet. If not, by 12 weeks, you just bring it out and start watering it again. And you're trying to, if you want it to bloom at Christmas, that's why you're doing this in late September. So you regrow it and then just do things as normal. And when the flowers are done, you can cut off the flower heads, but not all the leaves. Let the leaves stay on there. And then again, sometime in late September, cut them back again.
I'm never perfect about this, but that's okay because then usually I have the flower in at Valentine's Day,
which
is fine too, right?
That's fine. You know, I did notice that my Thanksgiving cactus at work is loaded with flower buds.
I have little teeny buds. Not quite.
Are about a quarter to a third of an inch. So I think it's going to hit it this year for Thanksgiving just perfect.
I think mine needs to be repotted is what I really truly think. Because those do, you know, you can't just expect those cactus to just be on their own totally. I mean, they're low maintenance, but they get to a certain size and they need to be repotted.
They really do. And so the Thanksgiving Christmas cactus, you repot every 2 to 3 years.
I'm way behind.
They don't mind having their roots a little bit tight in the pot. And so that's why maybe every 3 years is fine. But I've seen them go 5 or 6. And then you're like, oh, maybe I should transplant that again. And they're usually okay.
Right. We're going to take a break. Come back with your calls and questions. Our phone lines are open. A great time to call, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. We'll be right back.
This is not a great way to begin a home mortgage loan. Pressing buttons, hoping that you'll end up with an actual experienced loan officer is not a smart way to start. Often it brings higher rates, higher costs, and long closing times. On the other hand, you can call Loans by Rick and speak directly to Rick, a mortgage lender that has closed thousands of loans since 2002. Rick will pick up your call every time, and you only talk to Rick, not option 1 or 2 or 3. Fast closing in 12 to 22 days from submission to clear to close with low rates and low closing costs. Call Loans by Rick at 801-809-SAVE. That's 801-809-SAVE or click loansbyrick.com.
Answering their question. Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton with you. Phone lines are open at 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. This morning, the Greenhouse Show coming to you from Euromax in Pleasant Grove, right next to the Tesla dealership, so you can find us very easily. And if you are thinking about putting cabinets in any part of your home, whether we're talking the bedroom or the kitchen or maybe your office, you really owe it to yourself to come out. We have Mike and Max with us this morning to talk about what's happening here. And Mike, first of all, you pretty much have taken us out of the dark ages, right, when it comes to cabinets. And really, you're kind of showing people the very latest technology and how it works.
Yep, that's what we're trying to do. Yeah, that's what Max brought with him, is stuff that I didn't even know about. So,
you know, when I used to work for a nursery, and I delivered plants to a lot of custom homes. And you would go in and talk to the contractor for a few minutes, and they would say, oh, I'm putting $175,000 worth of custom cabinetry in here. And, I mean, it looks beautiful, but the technology, and I don't know what other word to use, but it's rustic.
Sure.
Compared to what you're doing. And you can do any look, whether it is, you know, the traditional wood cabinets to very modern and sleek designs.
Sure. So, Max, tell us how you're using the software.
Yeah, so it's all about software as well. So we're not limited at putting any hole to put any hardware at any position. If you just, like, want a shelf at a certain distance, we can do that. We don't make a bunch of holes when you open the door and you see the holes from the bottom to the top. I hate that. It's like you never use those
what a
holes.
Waste, right?
Yeah. You can always see those holes. We will put the holes at the exact height where you want to use it. And we'll put the hardware you want to use it. So if you have some custom item which you want to be so precise in the height, widths, and depths, we can do that. It's not a big deal for us.
Yeah.
And it's all about the program which allows us to do everything what we want to do. And we have a CNC machine which will help us to cut at any size, at any shape.
So it's not just about, you were talking about earlier, Mike, it's not, people think of custom cabinets as being a custom size, but not necessarily what is inside the cabinet is custom, and not these sleek, clean designs.
Yeah, it's a different mindset in the engineering. So what almost everybody here uses is a program that, the way it works is you say, okay, I want a wall cabinet, and the program says, okay, you're going to build it like this. You're going to use conformat screws to screw it together, and you're going to get all the adjustable shelf holes in one spot and the hinge location in another, and what size do you want to make it? The engineering program that we use, you take a side of a cabinet, and you say, I want to put it together with conformat screws or with a magnetic connection or with a mini fix, and I want to put my adjustable shelf holes here. I build it from one part at a time with a dado wherever we want for LED lights, a dado for our built-in aluminum handles that's so popular in Europe to get the handles free look. So the handles aren't on the door, they're in the cabinets. And we can connect our cabinets with a sleeve that pulls the cabinet together rather than being on the installer to clamp the cabinet, try to put a countersink, try to screw it together without creating a gap and trying to get everything perfect. The CNC machine, basically the installer can't put the cabinet together not perfectly because the holes are done by the CNC machine, the exact location where we tell it to. So it's like actually custom cabinets, not custom sized cabinets, which is what you're really getting from most people around here.
Okay, so many details I want to talk about that we've kind of run out of time here, but I'm going to ask you the next time, just the broom closet. We have to talk about that more, but just you can come in and really see the little details that really matter in making your cabinets more efficient and more sleek and clean looking. And again, we are coming to you this morning from Euromax. This is in Pleasant Grove, right next to the Tesla dealership. We hope you come out and see us. Ton, our next listener is saying, when is the latest you can fertilize your lawn?
They can still fertilize right now. It's getting to the point that with this warmer weather, you're still fine, but they want to get it down. So, you know, next, especially the next rainstorm we have come in, that will flush it into the soil a little bit, but they're fine.
Okay. Michael is on the line in South Weber. Good morning, Michael. What was your question?
Hi. I grew a fig from a start this year, and I decided to bring it into the garage to see if I can have it overwinter better. I'm wondering, is there anything else I need to do to have the best chance of success of that blooming and maybe making a spring fig, or do I still need to wait a year before that'll happen?
It will try to fruit next year. They grow amazingly fast, as you've probably found, and I would just keep it watered. Even in the garage, you know, it will have water evaporate through the soil into the air. And so every 3 or 4 weeks, you're going to want to go out there with enough water to resaturate the soil, let it dry down again, and then hit it again with water.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, says they're concerned about their patio rose that they've moved into the garage. They say it's really dark in their garage. Do they need to bring it out in the light during the day, at least until it loses its leaves?
They can. They could put it outside when it's in the 50s and 60s. And what they're trying to do is convince it it's time to wind down for winter.
Mm-hmm.
Roses are a plant that will go dormant if they need to, but if the weather is warm enough, they don't. And so in areas like Portland, Oregon, and the South, you know, up the lower South and North Florida, you know, they have a lot of problems. But one thing the roses don't do is go dormant because it stays warm enough sure. for them to not to.
All right. Number to call with your questions this morning, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. This morning, we are coming to you from Euromax in Pleasant Grove, where, boy, if you are looking at cabots for any part of your house or your office, you want to come and check out these unique ideas and concepts for your home. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news, and we'll be right back.